I have heard of the rule of seven, that whether in marketing or parenting, you have to say something at least seven times before it is ever heard. I guess that is the reason that one car commercial runs on repeat throughout the entire football game, to where by the end of the fourth quarter, you can quote every line of the commercial. But how many times do we have to hear something before we stop listening to it? Like just before the plane is about to take off and the flight attendant gets up and grabs the intercom and starts to explain the safety instructions, saying, if there is a loss in cabin pressure, and as striking as that phrase is, we stop listening. That all we hear is that voice of the teacher from Charlie Brown, like an out-of-tune trombone. Well, the psalmist is trying to gain a hearing without sounding like a runaway trombone. But the psalmist is saying familiar things, sharing parables that have been heard before, sharing sayings from of old, things that the people already know. Like your mother saying, wear your seatbelts, or your teacher reminding you to do your homework, or the doctor saying again, please take your vitamins. But it's not always what is found in the words, but what we find behind them. It's the difference in hearing someone say, I love you, for the very first time, versus the 1,000th time. That the first time we hear those words, we hang on every word, every syllable. But as the years unfold, and every time we leave the house, we say, love you, we might not hear them as clearly. That every now and then, it is good to revisit the meaning of familiar words. Like when someone says, I am praying for you. The psalmist invites us to revisit and reclaim the familiar, like the words of our prayers. Because our prayers can soften our hearts and limber up our souls, making us more alert, more aware, more open to the love of God. That the openness of prayer can create an openness in our lives. The first car that I ever had was a 1986 Grand Jeep Wagoneer with wood paneling on the sides. My family had had it for years. My mom had put countless miles on it, driving us to soccer practice or youth group. And before I ever started driving, I never saw another Grand Jeep Wagoneer on the road anywhere. But as soon as I got my license and I sat behind that wheel, it was as if I saw a Grand Jeep Wagoneer around every corner and every turn. And I felt like I needed a wave, like they were part of the family. That we can become more open to seeing what has always been there. That prayer can soften our hearts and limber up our souls. Jesus tells the parable of the bridesmaids, where they are waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. Five of them brought extra oil for their lamps. The other five did not. And we are not sure, we can only speculate whether this was part of a regular wedding custom. But in the parable, the bridesmaids are waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, and the bridegroom is delayed and finally shows up at night when it has become dark. So their lamps are necessary. And the five who brought extra oil were able to see the bridegroom. The five who did not had to leave and buy more, and they missed the moment. Jesus tells this parable during Second Temple Judaism, during a time when everyone's expectations were heightened about God restoring Israel as it was oppressed by Rome. And the Gospel of Matthew tells the story of Jesus as if Jesus is a new Moses, leading the people out of Egypt. The Sermon on the Mount is like the new law, like Moses bringing down the Ten Commandments from the mountain. And Jesus up there, surrounded by that bright light on the Mount of Transfiguration, is like Moses coming down the mountain with his face shining brightly. And the Passover meal, which celebrated Moses leading the people out of Egypt, becomes the Last Supper that Jesus celebrates with his disciples. That people expected a Messiah. So Jesus tells this parable, calling the people to prepare. That it's not necessarily about the moment when the bridegroom arrives, it's what the people were called to beforehand. And likewise, prayer is not just about the immediate moment. It ends up preparing us for all of the moments to come. One of those words that belongs to the life of the church, but we do not hear often in our Baptist circles, is the word sacrament. Like baptism or communion, a sacrament is an outward sign of an inward grace. And in that way, prayer is sacramental. We receive God's grace as we are open to it. And we can pray by sitting quietly. We can pray by walking down the street. We can pray by coloring a picture. We can pray before bedtime or before dinner time. But prayer is healing. It is challenging. It is hopeful. That prayer is not like an algebra problem, and thank goodness it is not. We don't have to try to solve for this unknown variable. That prayer is simply an openness to all of life and God's presence in it. As John Dalrymple reminds us, that we go from thinking that God is a part of our lives to realizing that we are a part of God's life. That we could look up and watch the sun rise and set, coming up in the east and setting in the west, and we might assume maybe the sun does revolve around the earth. But we know the earth revolves around the sun. That prayer helps us become more open to discovering how we are a part of God's life. And before we become overwhelmed, what it is that we need to do, we must remember the power of small steps that the five bridesmaids simply brought extra oil. When I was about 11 or 12 years old, the thing to do in Augusta, Georgia, was to sign your child up for dance lessons. And the parents did not ask the children whether they wanted to take dance lessons because they knew what would happen. So in the fall of that year, I attended my very first dance lesson. And the first thing we learned was the box step, which is exactly how it sounds, that you and your partner make steps in the shape of a box, which sounds easy enough. But as the instructor called out each step, we were falling all over each other. So she stopped the music, and she grabbed the microphone, and she got all of our attention, and she said, "Remember, you do not have to take big steps. Just take small ones." That, as it turns out, that is the only way to stay together. And prayer is a partnership between God and us, where we speak, we listen, we receive God's grace. That small steps can make us more open to all of life and to God's presence in it. Amen.